that you speak, apart from English and American?
Well, I just wanted to take this time informally to have you share some history.
Come closer.
You want to go? if you wish.
Come closer.
What are we going to do?
Especially want to hear more about the early history of LCJE and your thoughts on a ministry, maybe some thoughts on the conference where you see things have changed, you know, over the years from the early days, and whatever God's put on your heart. So.
I think it's amazing how LCJ started. I mean, when they had Lausanne had the 1980 conference, and they had this, was it something like 20 different people, groups of people? The focus was on, wasn't
right,
it? Reaching, specifically reaching certain groups. And I actually got invited to coordinate the group on reaching Jewish people almost by default. There was someone who worked, I think, for Messianic Testimony, who was meant to do it. And at about a year's notice before the conference, he actually had to pull out for some reason. So I then had about a year, and the idea to start off with was to get as many different groups of people who are involved in Jewish ministry around the world to get groups together and just discuss what are the issues, what are the problems, what are the barriers, what can be the bridges, what's happening within the Jewish community, and so on. So JFJ was very good on this.
We had our Avodah year that year in 79-80. And so you had 75 Jews for Jesus staff members plus in San Francisco, and we all broke up into groups and were assigned tasks to do research. And so that was a contribution from the whole organization to LCWE.
But it was a massive input to the whole discussion. And then there were other groups around the world who did some stuff as well. And then we got all the stuff, and I had someone who helped me.
But Moish had already, you know, put his imprimatur on, you know, we need to support this, because he'd obviously set time for staff to do these papers. And
I mean, I think all along, without Moish, there'd be no LCG. And I mean, I think that initially in so many of their folk doing research in groups and sending papers in, and then other people from other parts of the world sending papers in, and then trying to collate all that information, which formed the basis of our discussion for five solid days. The Patio conference lasted for 10, but five of those days was in your groups. And we had this, it was an amazing group of people. There was Murdo, and there was, there was Moish, there was Susan, there was Jan, I think.
Jan was there.
Yeah. Then there were some of these, like Dr. Goldberg, Dr. Derrida.
Do you know these people?
Gerald
Goldberg, yeah.
Gerald Anderson.
Him, I don't know.
Dr. Richard Derrida was a professor at Calvin Seminary.
Yeah.
I'm reading his book now, Discipling the Nation.
That's right. Yeah, yeah. Lovely, gracious guy, so gentle. Yeah.
I'm loving that book.
Yeah, it was an amazing group of people.
Irv Kolb from the Lutheran Church, Missouri Kolb, Synod.
That's right, yeah.
Was there a secretary for evangelism?
And we just had these days together, and I think if I'm right, I think Irv Kolb actually served as the chairman, and I was the secretary coordinator.
I wasn't there, but I distantly remember. I think that's the case.
I think it's down on the actual booklet which was published. Anyway, I was a bit apprehensive because I thought, well, you know, you're going to have different millennial positions, we're going to have different styles of ministry. You've got CMJ and CWI on the one hand, and is anyone from ABMJ then?
No.
But there was obviously Jews for Jesus and other groups. It was an amazingly harmonious group. I mean, I suppose there was a willingness to share together. There was a feeling of mutual encouragement. There was a feeling in some ways of being a minority and was sort of, you know, fringe, what do the rest of the people think of us? So it just seemed to work very well. And the booklet which was produced was a result of that. And actually, Lausanne said that, I mean, they, they were really pleased with that production, that first booklet.
You're talking about the occasional paper?
Number seven it was. Right. But they said, you know, you guys have worked so well, it's exactly what we wanted, and so on. So that was good. But then I remember, I think it must have been towards the end, that we had lunch, and there must have been Moish and Susan and me and I think Ulla Kavama, sort of saying, oh, and Murdo, and where do we go from here? What, you know, is that it?
I always call him Ole.
Oh,
right?
Sorry.
Ole Kavama, well, okay.
That guy, yeah.
And no, he was one of my first people I've met in
Norwegian. And, there was a sort of thing, why don't we sort of keep in touch? I can't honestly remember how it developed, but I seem to be the only person who wasn't doing very much at that time in my life. So, well, you carry on, sort of be the coordinator. And I think then the suggestion was that we should meet in a couple of years' time and have another conference, which turned out to be the one at Easney Wales, All Nations one. And then another one a couple of years later, a new market. And then just after that, I became principal of All Nations, and then I handed over the LCJ role. And presumably Kai then took over.
Nope.
Is that right? No, what happened?
Did Uli
took over.
Uli took over? Yes.
Uli was after you.
Oh, was he? Okay. No, that's probably right. He was president, wasn't he?
Yeah, Uli was president.
After Murdo.
So Murdo was president, then Uli was president. Kai, no.
Murray McLeod was...
Was Kai 30 years?
No, 20 years. He was only 20 years.
Yeah, so that couldn't have been it.
As international coordinator. Yeah, I need to go back and reconstruct that.
Yeah.
So. This will help me, though.
Who was the international coordinator?
Well, I think actually Uli was briefly.
No, I was. I was from 80 till I think probably about 85.
Okay.
So I imagine, because I know Rosemary and I organized the first two conferences.
Okay.
I suppose technically they were the international conferences, but those two conferences. Elizabeth Hill acted as a real help.
Right, she was a good administrator.
That's right, yeah. And this lovely person that helped me in sort of doing a bit of secretarial work. Really was a very young Christian, and inspired by that, she then did a degree by correspondence and finished up with a BA in theology, which I was quite excited about. But that was, you know, quite a secondary thing.
Icing on the cake, though.
Yeah.
But it's hard to. Murdo, I think, was. I mean, they were
Murdo.
So there were two positions: president and international coordinator.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure.
And the coordinator. Did all the work.
Right. Still the case.
John Ross ended up in there, I think, too, for a while.
CWI.
After Murdo.
Yes.
Left. I think John Ross was there for a little bit.
Okay.
But I don't know who had which position.
Right. I need to go back and rebuild it. I can do that maybe from some of the bulletins.
Susan would know right off the top of her head.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It's quite a lot of water under the bridge since then. So But then, then when was the meeting in Manila, the thriller in Manila, of Busan, okay? Maybe, now this is where we go back in the eons of time, because I certainly was involved in the Jewish group at the one in Manila. Am I getting muddled up?
No, that was an important conference. It was an LCWE conference.
And is that when there were some of the Bible readings, the plenary Bible readings were on Romans 9 to 11, or on the latter chapters of Romans, and that really upset members of our group, because it was the Archbishop, an Anglican Archbishop from Australia, who more or less ignored the context that these were actually written about the Jewish people. Right. You know how... Gentiles are quite good at doing that, and to sort of expand the passage, but I mean, no sort of reference of the Jewish context. So I went to him on behalf of the group, and I think initially he thought I was some sort of fanatical extremist. And I said, and look, I mean, can we please look at the context of this and so on? But I remember that it was a very sensitive issue, and people got very, I mean, Marilyn Moish getting very angry. And then they had a go at Colin Chapman because of his book on Whose Promised Land. And so that was, you know.
We had that same issue erupted again at Cape Town.
Right, right. I was going to say history repeated itself.
Yes, yeah.
Chris Wright, who's, I mean, I see him at OMSC, and I like Chris.
Yeah.
But he's total amillennialist and sort of a militant amillennialist in a gentle British sort of way. and so there was, so he applied his position to the whole idea that of equality within the body of Christ, and that, you know, there's no rights or privileges by race. And did that in his section in the pre-conference work. He did it on, he was talking about unity. And so he made that point very strongly and basically disemboweled our ethnic identity. And
In one fell swoop.
We got a little upset about that one.
Well, you hinted at that. Was it last night or the night before?
We did. But it did happen in the Philippines too.
But I think that, okay. But I think that's in one sense.
It's important context.
It shows how important LCJE has been, I think. That from some perspectives, it has been one of the most, from my understanding, one of the most successful outcomes that's come within the Lausanne movement.
That's what everyone says. Yeah. I mean, everyone seems in agreement
on that. I think people sort of felt, well, you know, people who work in Jewish missions are such nuts anyway. I mean, they're not going to work together, are they? I mean, they're such individualists. And I think the fact that we have, and it has been so positive and so effective, and I mean, how many other groups have had so many both regional conferences and international conferences? I think that's great.
And we can also continue to serve as stimulant to the greater Lausanne movement, to try to keep them on track. Yeah. I mean, you know, we always come up we always come up to the border, to the abyss. Basically, it's like, well, should we could easily go off on our own. I mean, there's nothing. We're strong enough as a network.
Yeah,
you know, that we could be independent and just, and we are. I mean, we are. Nobody, you know, there's no control over us. But at the same time, you know, we can have input into the greater body, and we feel that's important.
Yeah.
You know, to continue and to try to impact them, because there's always this pressure pushing in the other direction.
I always remember that the same time that there was PATHIA in 1980, that the World Council of Churches also had a conference on mission at San Antonio. Was it the 89 conference? But there were these two conferences at the same time. The Lausanne one, which used the Book of Acts for the Bible readings, and the WCC conference on mission, which used John's Gospel. And the Lausanne conference theme was proclaim till he comes, or something very similar to that. And the WCC conference was mission in Christ's way, which sounded great. I remember Susan Perlman. It's great to have, you know, people like Susan in there, because she said, well, I mean, it sounds tremendous, you know, mission in Christ's way, you know, humility and service and all that kind of thing. That sounds good. Can't disagree with that. Until you actually start talking about, but who is Christ? And it was the complete inability to agree on who Jesus really is, in terms of, is he really divine, and so on. That, you know, that's really the heart of the matter. So it sounded great. And here, you know, all these evangelicals gung-ho on proclamation and so on. And these guys saying, mission in Christ's way, service. Yeah, but I mean, you're not quite sure whom you're serving. right. And to me, that sort of epitomized the difference between the two movements.
Well, the slogan, the whole gospel for the whole world, was
from the whole church.
Was a balancing statement,
right?
And to make sure that the gospel kept up with holistic missions, and And I think we all appreciated that. I mean, we, you know, because so many of us in Jewish missions were trying to get churches enthusiastic about Jewish missions, and it wasn't easy.
Yeah.
Right. You know, because people didn't want to offend Jews, particularly in Europe, and they didn't. So it was a challenge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so the WCC was kind of the enemy. And
which is why it was great to have people like Jerry Anderson at that initial group that, out of which came LCJE, and as well as Louis Goldberg and Dr. Derrida, because I think they gave some sort of weight to it. That and remember Jerry Anderson saying, if Jesus is not the savior of the Jews, he's not the savior of anybody.
Right.
Which is,
and where was Jerry associated? Where was his...
He was the Overseas Ministry Study Center,
okay,
which was then in New Haven, but then moved to Yale.
It was in Ventnor, New Jersey.
And then, that's right. Sorry,
in Ventnor.
And then moved to Yale. Jerry Anderson was is a United Methodist scholar who still alive.
Still alive? Okay.
Oh yeah, he could just He could be interviewed.
Yeah,
and I could arrange that for him.
He would be very good, actually.
Is he still in Ventnor?
No, no, he's not in Ventnor. He's in New Haven. He's
I think he retired to New Haven. Oh yeah, to Yale, didn't he?
Yeah, he retired 3 liters ago at OMSC. Yeah. I still go to OMSC almost every year, and but Jerry was a leader in the missions movement within the United Methodist Church. I don't think he was ever the head of the United Methodist Missions.
But he was a voice within that denomination.
Very important voice, which, because yes, he wrote the book on the history of missions with who? Oh, boy. You keep talking, I'll remember. But it was up until he's one of the leading missiologists. But he had feet in both worlds.
What's the journal that comes out of OMSC? It's one of the most foremost mission journals there is. But I'm trying to think of its name.
The Bulletin.
Occasional Bulletin. The Occasional Bulletin of Missionaries, yeah. And it's really very significant because it spans the breadth of evangelical, liberal and Catholic missiology. And yet he always insists on having key stuff about Jewish evangelism in it. And, I mean, he got me to write my kind of... what is it, my life story in mission or something, whatever. Yeah. So what else can we tell you?
No, that's terrific. That's really what I wanted to get. And maybe at a future point we can talk about your ministry and in Ethiopia.
That would be interesting.
Yeah. Let's want to share a little bit. Let me stop this one.